Welcome this afternoon to our Good Friday service at New Hope Bible Church. I trust you are doing well and healthy, and our desire is to come underneath the cross, celebrating the Friday in which our Savior died for us. What a great payment that was for our penalty of sin. So we come rejoicing in his death on the cross. I would like to open us up with a word from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Join us in singing once again. As we go through our Good Friday service, it's our desire as pastors in New Hope Bible Church to walk you through the final, last phrases of Jesus. He spoke seven of them, and each of them have great significance to our lives. The first phrase that I want to walk you through is a phrase Jesus spoke found in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. The phrase is, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The passage reads in Luke 23, verse 33, "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" To put this into context, Jesus has been stripped, humiliated, beaten, spit upon, betrayed, denied, and abandoned. Those he called friends ran away. Those he ministered to, healing their sick, feeding their multitudes, shouted with hatred, "Crucify him." The ones who could save him, the Romans, mocked him, saying, "King of the Jews." And as easy as it is to say that, we would not be among those shouting those insults at Jesus, speaking of him that way, or perhaps abandoning him in fear. We most likely would be among those crowds. Most men would have looked at us and the evil we do with anger, as if by our actions we are crucifying him all over again. Yet compassion is there in the first words that Jesus speaks as he gathers himself on the cross. It's interesting to me that he intercedes on our behalf before the Father, filled with compassion, grace, and forgiveness. And so this afternoon, as we reflect upon that first phrase, one of Jesus crying to his Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." As we reflect upon that phrase, let's remember the compassion and love that Jesus has toward us.
The second phrase that we consider today is taken from Luke 23, and it's the phrase, "Amen," or "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I'm going to read Luke 23, verses 39 to 43, where that phrase comes from. "One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling about at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If this is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' Now there was also an inscription above them, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise.'" As we go through these verses today, I would like to have you ask yourself a question. Ask yourself, how would I have responded to the events of this day if I was there in the place of the people that we're reading about today? If you were there in place of the two criminals, you had just heard Jesus say those words about, "Father, forgive them." If you were there, what would you have said? What would you have thought? The first one mocked, as many in the crowd did. He mocked and said, "If you're the Savior, if you're the Messiah, save yourself and save us." And that's the way that today many people respond to the cross of Calvary. If he was God, why didn't he just get down off the cross? But the second one acknowledged his own sin and the worthiness of death for the crimes he had committed. He asked Jesus, when he heard Jesus' words of forgiveness, he asked Jesus if he would be remembered like those Jesus had just prayed for. He got his answer. His answer was, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Truly, that's a picture of how deep the Father's love is. Let's sing together that song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Deep the Father's love for us, how vast. Jesse's going to come and lead us to those third set of words.
The third set of words we're going to be looking at today comes from Jesus, and he says, "Woman, behold your son." This comes from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, and it says, "Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her and into his own household." As we continue to look at the last phrases of Jesus Christ, we reach the words where Jesus sees looking down and seeing both his mother and one of his dearest friends. As the time of his death neared, there was much grief, pain, and anxiety that would soon be happening to the Son of God. Jesus shows much grace and concern in this situation as he made provisions for his mother to be taken care of. I think that in this particular moment, Jesus' love and care for those that he loves shows very, very plainly through his actions. I came across this poem from an anonymous author. It said, "Who's can grasp this grief? The grief of Mary watching her son suffer, the grief of Mary watching him die. And who can grasp the grief of the son who must see his mother mourn? What gift can a man give his mother? What can he offer when he is gone? How can he help her, hold her, comfort her, honor her? Woman, here is your son. Here's one I love to you and for you to love. One who knows me, one who is my brother and can speak of me, one who can hold you, comfort you, and honor you, one who shares your grief. Here is your mother. Here's one I love for you to love and to love you, the one who taught me, the one who fed me, the one who wiped away my tears, the one who hugged me, the one who grieves with you." As we picture this situation, it's certainly a beautiful picture of comfort and provision during this time of unimaginable grief. What a perfect picture of love from both a son and a friend. The fourth phrase that Jesus spoke while he hung on the cross is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. The phrase is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" The time was roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The darkness had fallen across the entire land, one that was unlike any other day. And when Jesus cried out these painful words, he cried to his Father, and yet he didn't address him as Father. This is the first time in all of Scripture where Jesus didn't address his Father as Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words are drawn from the lips of Jesus due to the painful weight of our sin. It was at this time that the sins of all humanity, my sins, your sins, sins from past, present, and sins we'll commit in the future, came upon Jesus as he bore them upon himself. He would die that day as our substitutionary lamb. In this brief moment upon the cross, God turned his back on his Son, for we know that God cannot look upon sin. He is holy. And so as he turned his back on his Son, in agonizing pain, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Truly, he was worthy.
Let's join together in singing, Worthy is the Lamb. Phrases that we've seen so far have been directed to specific individuals, the individuals of the whole crowd, the individuals of the thieves next to him, his mother, and the disciples who were with his mother, and then his expression to the Father. There's no recording of what the angels considered on the day of the crucifixion of Christ. But the words we just sang, worthy is the Lamb, perhaps was what the angels understood. Because John the Apostle records in Revelation 5 and verse 12, the words that came from heaven, the words that the angels knew to be true, that Jesus was worthy. The Lamb that was worthy. The fifth phrase is now not a phrase directed to an individual, but a phrase just expressing where Jesus Christ was at that moment on the cross. He spoke in the recorded words in John 19 and verse 28. Says, after this, Jesus, knowing all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, said, I thirst. Two simple words, I thirst. Jesus knew all things of each and every day, ever past, ever present, ever to be. So today, there is nothing that he does not know. I'm not sure where you find yourself today, probably in your home. I'm not sure what might be pressing upon you hardest, the greatest challenge, the difficulty that you may be facing. What is it that you might be thirsting for most? Yesterday, I had the opportunity of spending most of the day with my son, Jonathan. And many of us long for spending time with family. Jonathan and I were working and working together and accomplishing what we needed to accomplish for our work. And as I, at a safe distance, saw several people, it was interesting to me that they just passed on those words of thank you for being out here to bring us the papers that we're looking for. I was pleased just to have the thirst accomplished of spending time with family. But I want to share the thirst that may be different. Last Sunday, I received a word from a former classmate. We graduated together. He's a fellow pastor. He's been a friend of mine since second grade. Last Sunday morning, he received a call from the Bucks County Department of Health telling him that he had tested positive for the virus. He had had no cough, no fever. He had a lot of fatigue and a heart full of questions. He thirsted for the answers, and yet he was trusting Jesus Christ completely. He decided to share with many of his classmates and people who had been in the churches that he pastored over the last four decades. And he shared the words of his wife. At one point, after they had gotten the message, she stepped into their bedroom, and Leslie said, "Paul, don't you leave me." Wow. Those are words, spoken words, that will never be erased from my mind. A thirst to remain with her beloved husband, a thirst that could not be quenched. How much more Jesus Christ had this thirst, not just a physical thirst, but an ultimate thirst that he wanted to have quenched. A thirst to be in the presence of his heavenly Father. A thirst to be fellowshipping together with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. A thirst to comfort his mother. A thirst to be with the body of Christ, his bride, the church. Jesus Christ spoke those two simple words, "I thirst." But he found a complete and full answer for that thirst in the Father, because he knew that he had accomplished all that had been set before him. Jesse's going to come and share those words. It is finished.
The sixth phrase that we're going to be looking at today is, "It is finished." Coming from John 19, verses 29 to 30, says, "A bowl was there full of cheap wine mixed with vinegar, and a sponge was soaked in it, put on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted to his lips. When Jesus had received a little of the wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." The words "it is finished" signify so much more than just the end of Jesus' earthly life. These words proclaim that Jesus, as the Son of God, had accomplished what the Father had sent him to do. With his death, Jesus Christ paid the eternal sacrifice for the sins of the world. Pastor Chris. It's interesting with each of these phrases, the different emotions we feel. Emotions such as sorrow, of pain even. Emotions of gratitude. The seventh phrase that Jesus spoke after he had said, "It is finished," is found in Luke 23, verse 46. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. It's the end, the very end, the end of the ordeal, the end of the suffering. And Jesus alone on the cross, tortured, exhausted, abandoned by his friends, forsaken by God, gasps for a last breath and gathers the strength for one final cry. Why would he choose to speak so close to the end? Why would he muster the last energy he had to cry out with a loud voice? Couldn't God just simply hear his thoughts? Couldn't God read his mind? Unless God wasn't the only one Jesus intended to hear these words. Unless Jesus' voice was pitched loud so that we too might hear this final dedication of his soul. The commentary I read had these thoughts to offer. That these words were a dedication made despite the pain, despite the mocking, despite the agony, despite the sense of horrible aloneness he felt. These words were a dedication made to God before the resurrection, before the victory of the kingdom, before any assurance other than that which faith could bring. Jesus entrusted his spirit, his life, and all that has given it meaning to God in faith. Even at the point of his own abandonment, when the good seems so very far away, he proclaims his faith in God. The darkness cannot overcome it. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
We have a understanding at New Hope Bible Church that if during a service there's something somebody needs to communicate to us, they can text it to my phone. Well, during our service today, at least while we were recording it, Brad Hengst sent me this text just to let us know, and I pass this on because many of you know Brad. He was in the hospital, taken there 6 days ago. But today he said, "I am home resting well here, just came home. Still tired and weak, but taking it easy. Can't believe it's Easter weekend already, and I'm looking forward to the New Hope Bible Church Easter service." And that'll be available for you to watch on Sunday morning to celebrate Easter with your family and friends, not in the same room. You can let them know to be watching as well. We've done a survey today of that day which Jesus endured on Calvary. We're going to just close our time with singing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The words were written in the early 1700s, and we're singing it to the Appalachian folks too. Familiar with that. "When I Survey."
this day is that you would consider Jesus Christ's death on the cross for your sins. I'm not sure where you are, where you find yourself this day or in the days to come, but maybe you've never considered these things. Maybe you've never considered Jesus as one who died for you, but his death is very personal. For he did die for your sins, for my sins, for all the sins of humanity. That's what we've walked through as we looked through these final seven phrases of Jesus while he hung on the cross. And the phrase that I want to focus in on is that phrase, "It is finished." For at that moment, Christ died for you. When he gave up his breath, he created an opportunity for us to have salvation through his death. And so I'd ask you at home to consider this, whether or not Jesus is your Savior, whether or not the man hanging on the cross that we know as Jesus is your Savior, for he did die for you. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Jesus, Lord. I thank you that he was pierced for our transgressions. Father, I thank you that by his scourgings, by his wounds, we are healed. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross for our sins. Father, thank you so much that he desired to take on the pain and the suffering, Lord, that he desired to take on the crown of thorns and the whipping and the scourging, Lord, that he desired to take on the sinfulness of all humanity upon himself for our sake. For truly, his love for us is deeper than we could all even imagine. And so, Father, this day, as we end our time together around your word, Lord, focusing in on the cross, it's our prayer of gratitude that we wish that you would hear, Lord, as we worship you as the God who provided a Savior for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus and his death on the cross for our sins. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us on Easter Sunday, for he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again. Have a blessed day.